Go get him records, nigga.
Yes, all the pretty Ricky be ballin'.
And none of these hoes rejected me, they always stay callin'. I hate when they be awkward, barely talking, I be yawning. If she said I caught feelings first, then that little hoe retarded.
Shawty know that take some pictures on the backdrop.
Shawty know that I'm ballin' like I'm on blacktop.
Niggas be mad when I brag about the cash I got. But I'm used to not having a lot. I'm from the Burgundy,
I ain't the type to try to waste your time. And I ain't the type to play games with your mind. Put her up on the register, I swear she a dime. She wanna get my name tagged on her spine. Yeah. I promise, baby, I ain't telling no lies. I promise, baby, I ain't crossing no lines. If mine's yours, and if it's yours, then it's mine too. Shawty hit 10, but that clock is a 9.
She love me not, ain't probably.
She stole my heart, yeah, robbery. If it don't crash now, would you ride for me? I understand if you got time for me.
You know I wanna see how you put that thing on me. I can't let you get stressed on me.
Get it together, oh, forget it forever. When I go at too hard, I could get it through leather. You act like Ricky can't get at whoever. Talking, you got a man, okay, my hand. That's my old self, making me chase you around for months. Having a fan, act like an adult for once. Shorty wanna know my network. Cause it's known around town, I put in that work. Show you how that map works. Shawty wanna be a nurse. It's ironic how she stole my heart to put it in a purse. Shawty always hurt like most times the nerve. I become a flesh and I could try to stitch your heart. Yeah, girl, baby. Become that nigga on the news and I could change the weather.
Me and you together, we can make it through another.
Flood out that bezel, bet I'm making you feel special, huh? Channel wanna sell the seeds while she told that damn. Never listen when a hater talk. My flex is your flex, you got it. We ballin'. I know that shit be on her shoulder like I walk and talk. I know these niggas mad because my jewelry on the floor. All these spilling on my wallet. I've been going.
What up, what up, what up, what up? Y'all know what it is. I forgot. I mean, what up? So I was supposed to put on that shit, man. Rough day for Ice Pick. But this is Close Your Ears. This is episode 73. We back at it. Told you them episodes coming rapid fire, niggas. So grab your lighters and smoke one of this one because we got Miss Sasha Winters with us. Now, y'all know this is mental health awareness week, what we doing right now. So we got with us Mrs. Winters. Yep, she's married, Mrs. Winters. And she is now give us your title.
I'm a mental health professional. Right now I'm a pre-licensed therapist and I'm certified in trauma therapy.
Okay, that's big talk. So we got the doctor in the house, the professional. You, is it titled doctor or?
Not yet.
Not yet? That's what you're working on?
Right.
All right. That's it. Yo, we be having them dope guests on up in here. So, yo, mental health aware. Before we even get into it, though, real quick, right? What are we going to do? I got a couple other topics, right? I want to ask the therapist.
Okay.
What's wrong with these people?
I mean, that has a lot of answers to it. What do you mean by what's wrong with these people?
Hold on. So we're going to start, right? Because we're going to talk about a little bit that's going on around the world. Yeah, if everybody should know by now, they heard about the shooting in Buffalo. The shooter, I think he was 18-year-old white kid. Okay. I think he, shot, I want to say 13 wow. Killed, the other three injured. Mm-hmm. So this is up in Buffalo, New York. So, therapist,
yeah.
Let's just say you working at the jail, right? Mm-hmm. Boom.
He comes through.
What we doing? What that conversation like?
I mean, I would greet him like any client. How are you? How was your day? How was your week?
Would you be nervous?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. Why not? He doesn't have access to any weapons in there of choice.
This is why I kind of commend y'all. I kind of don't want to, excuse my French. I don't want to sit down with them crazy people. Then we in a little small room and shit, man. I ain't going to front. I don't know.
Listen, they're used to people reacting to them that way. Being intimidated, being fearful of their presence. So they're going to use that to their advantage.
Right.
If I'm not fazed by you, now you're off your balance and you're going to take a minute and sit and reflect like, okay, who am I really besides this aggression? Because that's what everybody labeled me as.
So that's what you're trying to get underneath in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Why the aggression?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you're not going to tell me why the aggression if you feel like you need to be aggressive towards me.
All right. So how do you like I say, how the conversation start off though? Like what's the like you said, you're going to introduce yourself, mm-hmm. XYZ.
How was your week? And they'll probably look at me like, what do you mean? How was my week? You didn't watch the news? You didn't read the news?
And I just shot shit up.
Okay, but I'm asking, how was your week? Like, what happened in your week? I know what happened in my week. In my week, on Wednesday, I heard this story. But what happened in your week? What happened on Tuesday?
Get his side of the story.
Right, because we don't know what happened on Tuesday.
Right. So, and then from there, what is you looking to gauge? Like, what is you looking for to?
I'm looking for accountability. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for keywords that reflect past traumas, like phrases. I'm looking for the what's called dissonance, which is the difference between what you believe and what you've done. So if you're a Christian and you believe in treating others like you should be treated, why? However you did this crime, like, where's the break there? Why don't those match up?
No doubt. So with mental health, with the mental health, where is this racism placed in like the mental health library? Is racism a form of mental illness?
I will say it's not diagnosable, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's not a diagnosis in the DSM-5 that says racist, like the word. There are diagnoses that explain why somebody might be racist. Because, see, diagnosis is a thing where racism is an attribute. So I can't diagnose you with
mental illness because you're racist. But it's around the corner, though, kind of.
Yeah, because it all depends on, like, what somebody does with their ideas. Are you, like, was this white supremacy?
Yeah, the bull?
Yeah, that's what
he,
I'm saying.
He like, did this on the behalf of white supremacy.
Right, no, I'm saying, like, I'm asking the client, like, are you doing this on a basis of that? Like, you truly are harming us because you hate us, or...
And he going to say, goddamn right.
Right, or are you a Trump supporter that just stays in your house? You know what I mean?
I think he was a Trump supporter too.
Right, but I'm saying, you know, two different sides. Like, I may believe in these things, but I don't act on them.
Right.
But I believe on them and I act on them. So if you believe and act on them, that's more diagnosable than somebody who believes but doesn't act on them.
Right. I got you. That's it, yo. Like I said, that's crazy because, like, you got to have some balls to sit in a room with somebody like that, like, and are you allowed? We shouldn't be using the word crazy, right? I should take that out of my vocabulary this episode.
Yes.
All right, we're gonna take crazy out of there. But I will, you know, I'm gonna be that type of crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to sit down with this. Like, even on people that interview serial killers and are like, I don't know what to say to this nigga. I ain't certified. That's all I could add. That's definitely y'all got that one, man. Because.
I think because we have this flaw that we think we can heal everyone. So as a therapist, like when you meet a client, you think like, oh yeah, I'm going to help you. So we never walk into a room intimidated because we want to make you feel better.
Is there any cases that aren't healable?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say that there is a therapist for everybody. There's a psychiatrist, psychologist for everybody. So maybe somebody who has a severe diagnosis, they need a different type of professional than me. So that's for them. But some people only need my type of professional. There's okay. somebody for everybody.
I know. What made you get into this field?
I laugh every time somebody asks me that question because when I say it, it's going to be like, for real? Like, that's what you based it off of? But when I was 12, I saw the movie Freaky Friday with Lindsay Lohan in it. And her mom is a therapist. But what interests me is that she could, like, go to the office, have a session, and then leave, do what she needs to do, buy groceries, whatever, and come back and have another session and, you know, have a decent life. And that was surprising to me because, you know, I was raised by my mom who worked 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. She couldn't call off of her job just because, or she couldn't leave and go. She worked more of a typical job. And so it exposed me to something different. And then I started looking up, like, what do therapists do? And then I started reading what they do and, you know, how they help people. And that's what drew my interest. Like, that's me. That's who I am.
No doubt.
Yeah, so I had this dream since I was, like, 12.
Living your dreams. That's dope.
Right. Like, every day.
So you knew since you was 12, mm-hmm. I'm going to be a therapist.
Yep. Yeah. And every day I sit in my office and, you know, I watch a client progress. It, like, fulfills that feeling, like, dang, I really am living my dream.
You born and raised here in Harrisburg?
Mm-hmm. Yep, born and raised.
Harrisburg High graduate?
No, SciTech.
SciTech?
Yep.
Same difference, right?
No.
No?
I'm the before era of SciTech. So SciTech,
when it was totally, totally separate.
Exactly. Okay. SciTech, y'all know now, is part of the school district. You know, they follow some of the same regulations. When I went to SciTech, it was a private school. They were privately funded, privately owned. Matter of fact, Lisa Waller.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Lisa Waller. I went to church with Lisa and her family since I was born. So Lisa was like an aunt to me. Matter of fact, I called her Aunt Lisa. So I was that SciTech.
Okay.
This SciTech, not saying there's like something bad about this SciTech, but that's one, the one that's...
This SciTech, a little rough. Huh? get your laptop taken.
No, just saying, like, they're part of the actual school district now. So when they graduate, you know, it does say.
Yeah, and they let some of them actual school district kids in there. See, back in your time, you had to
pass. You could go to any school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now it's, I don't know. Don't get me talking my shit, yo. I was going to ask you, so the classes there, how did that prepare you?
SciTech definitely taught me how to write a paper and do some research. And I feel like that got me where I am because getting a master's degree in psychology, you're writing mostly all the time. You're doing research all the time.
And that's what you want to get your master's in psychology?
I already have my master's.
Oh, you already have your? Mm-hmm. Hold up. You already got your? Hold up. Oh, she already got her master's in psychology. What college you went to?
I went to Grand Canyon University.
Say that one more time.
Grand Canyon University.
Okay. Colorado.
It's in Colorado, yep, but I went online.
Online, no doubt.
No, not Colorado, Kansas.
Kansas?
Phoenix, yeah. So.
Yeah, don't listen to me.
I'm sorry. Arizona. Phoenix, Arizona. I'm saying all other states.
You said it's Grand Canyon?
Grand Canyon University.
Okay. That's why I thought, but where the Grand Canyon at?
In Phoenix? Arizona, yeah.
What'd I say, Colorado?
Yes.
Damn. See, that's at Harrisburg High, yo.
But I went online, which was actually turned out to be beneficial because I graduated in 2020, and we all know what happened in 2020. It was COVID, and schools closed, but I still went to school because it was online.
Well, what year you graduated high school?
2011.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And here we are, 2022. Yeah. You got your master's.
Yep. I've had my master's for 2 years. Well, I will in November.
So now, then you're working. You said have it in November.
So
you say you already have. Hold on, go ahead.
I already have my master's. I will have it for 2 years in November. Like it's the anniversary.
So we're working to get
licensed.
Oh, okay.
So that's when the state says
you got, like, the degree you need. Now you just got to do the state joint and all. Exactly. Okay.
Which, if you're looking to go into the counseling field, please be advised that you have to get 3,000 hours. Before your license. Yes.
Hold on. So that's 3,000 hours of you sitting down and...
with clients, like sessions.
So
now, they don't all have to be direct hours. They can be indirect as well.
Okay, so you got to... So you already got to be working.
Yeah. And you can't start those hours until after you get your master's degree.
Hold up. I'm confused. Break this down. So you graduate.
With your master's in, I mean, you can get it in a number of things. Counseling, social work, psychology, you name it, whatever fits the description. And then you have to get 3,000 supervised hours before you can apply for Pennsylvania to say you're allowed to work on your own. Like you can own your own practice. Oh,
so you can go, you can graduate and go work under somebody.
Yeah, you graduate and work under somebody.
Because that's how y'all get your 3,000.
Right, and then you don't have to work under anybody. Body. You can be independent. You just,
so we going to be independent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Told y'all this is the number 7 podcast for entrepreneurship on the indie charts, man. We get them entrepreneurs up here in all different avenues. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you going to open up a doctor's office here?
Yeah, of course. I'm definitely always going to start in Harrisburg, you know, born and raised. This is where I'm from. But my dream, it will be a medical facility, and there will be several locations.
Yo. Shout out to Miss V down in North Carolina. She was on here. I can't remember the episode number, but the title, I believe, was Stuck on You with Miss V. Mm-hmm. She got her RN.
Okay.
And then I think got the LP or whatever, but mm-hmm. she opened up her own doctor facilities and all that. Okay. Chains of them. A couple wow. of them. I ain't going to say chains, but right. she had a few of them, though. I think I want to say she had like 4 locations.
That's great.
She told a story how she lost... made, what'd she say? She made 10 or 4 million in a year and lost it and had to go get it back.
Absolutely. I mean, counseling, I definitely didn't know that counseling would be this, I'll say, fluid. Because I can understand as a counselor how you can lose $4 million and then have to go get it all back.
She said she had to cut that nigga loose. But we're going to get into that because we're going to talk this mental health and dating
right.
on the second half.
Right, because that's but what we're here for.
We got to shout out another thing. Sis is new to the podcast family. The Wellness Center with one S, right?
Yep, because there's only one me.
There's only one her. Yo, so what got you into doing the podcast?
Well, I've always...
Time out. I'm sorry. Okay. Not to cut you off. Yeah. My fault. But the Wellness Center mm-hmm. with one S can be found on Anchor, Spotify...
Apple Podcasts and Amazon Music.
So check it out.
And nobody else knows this yet, but in iHeartRadio.
And iHeartRadio. That's a big move right there, yo. That's a big move. That's a nice platform to have your podcast on. So... please, listeners, y'all already know how it is. It's gang gang. I'm telling y'all this is podcast gang. So y'all got to go give her a listen. You know what I mean? Hit her up. Let her know how y'all like about it. You know what I mean? Give her your input, how y'all give me. Y'all know how it is in the podcast world. But we got to support sis. She's gang gang. So, okay, back to how you got started.
So on my TikTok, I started back in October because...
you had a dance?
A dance?
Or you was just dropping messages?
Dropping messages. But, you know, I was going through some things in my own personal life. I mean, and that's one thing that I vow to as a therapist. I'm always transparent. Like, you need to know that I'm a human and I go through things too because how can we relate? But anyways, back to how it got me. So I was like, what better than to share me learning how to fix myself with everybody?
My first patient, mate.
Right. I have to be my first patient. So that's what I did. And, you know, it made me read self-help books. It made me dive deeper into research about mental illnesses and coping skills and things of that nature. So that's what actually got me started. And then I took a pause for a month or two. And I was like, you know, I started to see that people were still liking and sharing stuff from October in like February. And I'm like, you know what? If it can continue to help somebody for 6 months, I'm going to keep doing this, because in 4 years, it'll probably help somebody else. And as long as I can help one person every day, like,
that's all it takes. Yeah.
I fulfilled my dream.
No doubt.
So that's really what inspires me, is to reach at least one person that is experiencing whatever every day.
No doubt. No doubt. The podcaster, the therapist, about to be the doctor.
Yeah, I'll work on that one day. But right now, I'm just working to be licensed.
We're going to speak that into, what's that word they say? Fruition. Tuition, what they say, speak it into
existence, like with manifestation.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that all that good affirmation and all that good,
yeah.
Equal opportunity and all that good shit, man. But so we got the podcaster now. The podcaster, right? We told y'all Mental Health Awareness Week. Last episode we had Miss Asia on here, and she's throwing the Mental Health Awareness event.
Mm-hmm.
That is this Saturday,
yep.
May 21st.
Yep.
Address is 1003
North 3rd Street.
North 3rd Street, across from the Keystone Building. That's what we kept saying on the episode. So you're going to be speaking virtually?
I am.
No doubt. What you dropping on them? Or you can't drop that yet?
No, not that. Let it come to me.
Oh, you going freestyle?
I let it come to me because,
no doubt,
you know, that's how I actually get the content for my podcast. So
just freestyle.
The spirit is going to speak something to me that somebody needs that day. And I'm going to be.
Hey, you're not wrong with that. That's actually dope. You do a lot of speaking? Or are you just starting to?
More recently, like I did an event at Kingdom Life Assembly. If anybody doesn't know, that's a church on 19th Street. And that was actually rewarding for me because I actually got married there 11 years ago.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, you've been married 11 years, girl? Oh, yeah.
I know. When I tell people that, they're like, how old are you?
Yeah, I'm trying to do the math. I'm like 2011. Man. You got straight out of high school. Lock that nigga down.
I literally graduated like 3 weeks after graduation. I mean, got married 3 weeks after graduation.
Damn.
Yeah.
You a veteran in the game. Yeah. So you got to, you do the marriage and all that.
Mm-hmm.
People that come through.
Yeah. And I think that was only so that I could do this. Like, you know, I had to go through all of that. I had to go through being married for an extended amount of time and, you know, go through life to be able to be where I am giving therapy. Like, how could I, and not to say, like, you know, not to bash any therapist, but if I'm sitting on a couch and I'm telling you something that I'm going through, I want to know that you at least understand.
Right, right.
If you never lived in a place that I live, like if you never grew up in the hood and had to fight
being able to relate, and that's what we was talking about last week too.
Yeah, like,
I'm sorry, that wasn't last week, that was just the other day. But
but yeah,
having doctors and more people, you know, people like us in these fields, because this is starting to be like a trending, the mm-hmm. mental health thing is really trending.
Absolutely.
And so would you say the intake is going up?
Absolutely. Like, I think COVID was the best worst thing that could happen to therapists, because
everybody,
yes. But speaking from a therapist standpoint, because before COVID, like, we took mental health, I'll say, semi-serious. Like, it was some awareness out there. So not a lot of people went to sessions regularly. And then COVID happened. You trapped in the house for 2 years by yourself, some people, with yourself.
Talking to yourself, and motherfucker, that's how I started. Motherfucker probably got to sitting in that house talking to themselves out loud, said, oh,
and
shit.
And not even that, losing family members, being laid off, going through, like, all the impact that COVID had. Matter of fact, tying it back, that was my first event. I spoke on how the pandemic has affected mental health. And I just want, and this is to let everybody know that you are not alone. 40% of the general population suffers from anxiety. 40%. That's almost half.
Half of everybody.
Right. So you're not alone.
Everybody out here on edge.
Yeah. But after COVID. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, after COVID. That was the research I did. And then I think it was 68% of that 40 also has depression. So if you have anxiety and depression, you are not alone. But that was my, that was my first event. And then I did do another event on self-care for grandparents. Because also, in the last 2 years, it has increased how many grandchildren actually live with their grandparents. We're doing the reverse generational thing. They're living with their grandparents for them to support them, not their grandparents moving in with them because they've grown old, because their parents have just suffered one of the hardest financial crises.
Got a lot going on. You digging into a lot of different bags. Yeah, that's a lot of different bags. Let me ask you this, though. Right? So, is the switch ever turned off for you as far as people coming in? As a, and you know, because I know after work, we ain't talking about work. Of course, that's, I don't know. Y'all might get them phone calls. You be getting phone calls? Phones turned off after?
So, depends on the therapist. Some therapists are not okay giving their
direct number.
And hey. Some therapists, if they're small, they are, or they use like a backup number. But so we always get calls. It's do you answer? And that's where you set the boundary, because I can't control that I get calls.
Family, everybody be wanting a little session real quick.
Right, but I can control if I respond to them. And that's not to say that my clients aren't important to me. It's called boundaries.
Yep. Because you got to get you got to have your time.
And how can I preach to you, like, set boundaries, if I'm not setting boundaries?
So how does, we going to say doctor, because it's coming. We speaking into whatever that word I would say. Exactly. How do you exercise and ease your mind?
A lot of ways. So I just got into journaling. I wasn't ever, like, I didn't journal a lot before. And I even say that on my podcast, like, how can you as a therapist who tells me to journal, not journal. But I don't require my clients to journal every week. I call it emotionally journaling. So when you have emotions, you journal. Because, okay, you're not a person who likes to document every day of the week, but documenting them emotions gets them out. But anyways, that's what I do. Journal. Read. I never thought I would say that. Like, I used to hate reading because I was in school, like, my whole life. But I actually will read psychology articles on my free time. And so journaling, reading, and my family. You know, like, I spend time with my son, decompress with him, do things he likes to do, make sure he has experiences, decompress with my husband, have experiences with him, you know, take trips.
No doubt. No doubt. You know, I just like to have other people here, you know what I mean? The ideas that they can do, you know what I mean? Because, you know, some people really only know exercise and drinking and partying. You know what I mean? So
right. They think work, and, you know, working on yourself is going to the gym, but some people think that, you know, if they just do that, then they'll be okay.
And that might not even do it. That might help you with the anxiety and all that, but that might not really open your mind up as the reading and the writing and all that.
And it's not something you're accessible to all the time. What happens if you're on vacation and you run into a trigger for one of your emotions and the resort you're at doesn't have a gym? I mean, yeah, you could do some push-ups, but you're used to running 5 miles every day in order to be seen. Where are you running?
Let me ask you this, right? And I gotta make sure I remember this question I wanted to ask you. But so, like, how does ink? Because, like, I got this big fear of like water, and like, I'm scared of water. I can't swim, but I'm like scared of big bodies of water.
Okay.
So I'm scared to go on a cruise because I'm scared I might get on this ship and have an anxiety attack. Like,
okay.
But I ain't never had an anxiety attack.
Okay.
How'd that work?
Okay. So, I mean, we all have phobias. Some of us don't like things or whatever. But anxiety can play tricks on you. Your mind can play tricks on you.
You could have had one and not even know?
No, not like, even like that. No. So, first of all, we can only access 10% of our brain. That's how powerful our brain is. So, if your brain is that powerful that you only use 10% of it on a daily basis, your brain is powerful enough to convince you of something.
So, I didn't already told myself I'm going to have an anxiety attack when I get on that boat.
Exactly.
Even though I don't even know how to have one, or maybe.
Even if you don't even know.
Do the breathing into the, they still do the breathing into the bag? Or what's that, asthma?
No, that's for hyperventilation. I don't think so. Like, I never recommended that to somebody. if that definitely works.
Yeah, I'm an 80s baby. You could tell I need a session, so you know, don't mind me.
I can see how it could work. Like, if it's making noise to distract you, if it's making you focus on your breathing.
I just see me on a cruise ship all day, just somewhere out of it.
Yeah. Has,
so you don't get on a cruise ship then. That's what you're advising? No. I should probably stay away from that.
No, I was about to, do my therapist thing and ask you a follow-up question. But I was going to say, has anybody in your life ever had a traumatic event in regards to water? Or you yourself?
Anybody in my, I almost drowned a couple times.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
So that also makes sense why you're afraid of large bodies of water and why you think if you get on a boat, you're going to have a panic attack because you've had episodes where you almost drowned.
The ocean almost took me in.
Yeah, so you have a negative association with the ocean, and that's not like diagnosing you or anything, but that's what it could possibly be.
I can get a check?
No. And I don't want to say no, like I approve people.
Yeah, you ain't. Hold on, we ain't finished the conversation. I can convince you. I might get a check.
I don't approve people to get checks. I just No. I mean, I can. I don't even say I can do something, but sometimes a mental health illness can be considered a disability. It's up to whoever does disability, the government, you know, the state or the. Whichever,
hey,
if you qualify.
You write something fancy enough on that tablet.
But it's still up to them, right? Like, they have rules of what qualifies and what doesn't.
No doubt. All right. I didn't forget the question.
Okay.
You were talking about reading some self-care books. What's some books you recommend out there?
I'm going to have to go back.
Or just some of your favorite,
Yeah, I'm going to have to look in my library of what I did read, but I read a book about self-love. Like, that literally was the title, like, self-love. And it was by another licensed professional counselor, and it had worksheets on each page. And it went through, like, different, not even coping skills, but different, like, psychological concepts to why you may have low self-esteem. One book that I was interested in and I didn't get to finish, and I'm going to have to pick that back up, is like How to Become a Millionaire Woman or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a book written by a woman who became a millionaire by herself. Like, just off of, and I'm not talking about like Oprah or somebody. I'm talking about like a regular everyday person.
Hustling. Found a hustle in.
Yeah, and how to become a millionaire. And she said one of the key factors, how to make 6 figures in a year as a woman. And that's a million, you know what I mean? So how to make 6 figures in a year as a woman, that's what the book is called. And she talks about in the book that if you want to be a millionaire, you can't just hang around anybody. You have to hang around people that already make $750,000 a year.
Translation, get away from them broke niggas.
You have to convince yourself that you already make 6 figures a year. Because if you convince yourself you only make $50,000, you're only going to do $50,000 worth of work.
Sounds like translation, fake it till you make it.
Right? So that's a psychological concept, and that's why I like that, because if I tell myself that I'm going to make, you know, $100,000 a year, then I'm going to do everything in my power to get to that number. It might not be this year. See, that's what people get confused when they make a goal. They're like, well, it didn't happen this year. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Yo.
I just got to keep telling myself that until it happens.
This is crazy. Shout out to MC Hammer. I don't know how the fuck MC Hammer came into conversation twice in like 3 days for me.
Wow.
But talking about faking it till you make it, mm-hmm. they said MC Hammer faked it till he made it. They said before he was even MC Hammer, the nigga was popping up in the club with bodyguards, and I guess he hired little entourages and shit. Like,
and that's the one thing about, I don't want to say drama as a negative aspect, but when I say drama, I'm including like gossip, like people talking, is that once one person believes it and starts spreading it, other people believe it. And so he obviously knew that. So he showed up to the club like he was somebody. Then somebody was probably like, yo, did you see that guy at the club? Blah, blah, blah. And to this person, he was, and then.
That's MC Hammer. Oh, shit.
That's MC Hammer.
Next thing you know, nigga was too legit to quit.
Exactly. Exactly.
Then the nigga was.
Right. I think that. I think he did the wrong fake it till you make it, right? Like, once you make it, you supposed to
Stop it. You faked it too hard while you had it.
He's supposed to, like, maintain that, you know.
But he kept it. What's crazy, he kept the same. Like, they said that's how he went broke. He kept an entourage and all that shit around him.
Break it down.
MC Hammer, Doc. Let's go.
You pulling it all out of me, right? That speaks to his level or what he defines as being satisfied, because, and I tell most of my clients this, when we are working towards a goal, we need to define exactly what that goal looks like when you're done, because if not, we'll always be chasing this thing that we don't know exists. So if his goal was, I want to be successful, he never said to himself, I want to be successful, and that means that I'm going to make $7 million a year and have blah, blah, blah. He just said, I'm going to be successful. So then when he got to $7 million a year, and I'm just making these numbers up, he said, I'm not successful enough. I didn't make it. So now I have to keep faking it. So now I need a bigger entourage because I still don't feel satisfied. Now I need a more flashier clothes because I still don't feel satisfied. You never got to satisfy. Now you start spending money you don't even have.
See, MC Hammer, if you listen to this, sis could have saved you if you started your career 25 years later.
If you'd have sat on her couch, you'd have been
like. Yo, so let me ask you this, and then we're going to take a quick break, right? And this was on one of the topics. I'm getting good. I ain't even forget the topics. I want to ask you about music and mental health.
I think music is the perfect expression of mental health.
Music is the perfect expression of mental health. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, but is all music good music? If for like, you know what I mean? Because I heard somebody was saying, and I might have to look up, I think I might have a question from somebody too. But I heard somebody was saying, something about they don't like listening to music. It might have been Asia, shit. But they don't, I think she was saying she don't like listening to music because, like, sometimes music might put her in a bad mood or a bad space.
So I've heard that from clients before. They would say, I can't listen to blank because it makes me feel blank. So, and that usually would happen when I was a substance use counselor. So that's, you know, counseling people that have addictions to whichever drug of choice. And they would say, like, I can't listen to this genre or this song because it's going to make me want to relapse. It's going to remind me of those times. And this goes out to a shout out to the book I'm actually reading, which is Becoming Supernatural by Dr. Joel Dispenza. I can't say his last name, but back to what I was saying. Our brain, like our actual brain, the muscle, is only made up of the past. Your brain can't be made up of something that didn't happen yet. That didn't already exist. So it's made up of physical memory, like touch, sound, taste, smell, emotions, all those things. So if a certain song makes her cry, it could be that it was playing during that time that something traumatic happened. It could be that the lyrics remind her of a trauma, like, you know what I'm saying, like the actual what they're saying, not the, like, the song wasn't present during the trauma. And, you know, like, there's, and that's why I love psychology too, and that's what, like, made the passion grow, is that, like, everything has an explanation. Everything. There is never a question that can't be answered. And so what was I saying about the brain? Okay, so, like, the lyrics. So it could be that the words that are being said remind her of a trauma. But there's actual specialties out there of therapists who specialize in that type of thing and will use music to trigger those emotions to help process the trauma.
No doubt, no doubt.
Yeah, but that's why I say that music is an expression, a perfect expression of mental health, because it's mostly emotions in a song. Like, people don't write songs just because, right? Or if they do, they usually don't gain popularity. So, like, a song that you like has a story to it somehow, some way. It makes you feel some type of thing.
Take you somewhere.
Yeah, and the person that wrote it because it makes them feel some type of way. So it's the perfect expression of music. And music is also universal. If you are deaf, you can like music, you know, like they can feel the beats. If you're, I said that right. You know, like if you're blind, you can still listen to music. Music speaks to everybody.
I don't know if you're blind, you can still listen to it. You got to break down how you listen to music if you're deaf.
So they listen to the vibrations. Everything is a vibration. Every tone, every note, every sound in the world has a different vibration than another sound.
So they could be like, play Billie Jean, and they going like, you can't put on something that ain't Billie Jean. They gonna be like, turn that shit off. And put
Billie Jean. I mean, some people have that gift. They do. You know, we're all more good at something than somebody else. So I think that somebody could, yes, if they had that gift and was able to like study.
You know, I'm a little high right now. So you kind of, when you said deaf people listen to music, you know, my mind went, how?
Right. Like, what do they hear?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not saying that they don't hear anything. I don't know. I'm not inside. I'm not inside their body.
I don't know. I ain't deaf.
I'm not inside their body. I don't know their experience. But, you know, that's what listening to music means to them. And I think that has a great meaning, too, that everything means something different to somebody, but it doesn't mean that it's less than your meaning. So listening to music to them may be feeling the vibration. Listening to music to you may be hearing the harmony. But that doesn't mean that either one of your experiences is better than the other experience.
Or that's what that also means, though, that they probably can differentiate, or you say the vibrations, and if you can feel all that. No doubt, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. All right, Doc. Well, listen, y'all know how it is. We're going to take a quick break. Before we take a quick break, though, don't forget, listeners, don't forget to follow whatever you're listening on, Spotify, Apple, Anchor, Pocket Cast, Google Cast, Rocket Cast, all that shit. Follow, don't forget to follow. Share on social media episodes you like. Don't forget, you can comment, leave us voice messages on Anchor. You can leave reviews on Spotify. You can read the reviews on it, whatever you're listening to. And don't forget, like I told y'all, listeners, get that Good Pod app. Search Close Your Ears on there, too. You know what I mean? Get my followings up over there. That's the magazine that let us know. We number 7 this week, Indy. Coming for that number 1. But also, too, while you're on Spotify, you get done listening to that Close Your Ears, don't forget the Wellness Center with 1S, Spotify, Apple. Where you at, sis?
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Anchor, and iHeartRadio.
So don't forget, and share, like, all that good shit. And on Anchor, don't forget, you can support both of us, yeah. You know what I mean? Get that subscription for $9.99, $4.99, or 99 cent, whatever you got, beloved. But help some niggas out. Y'all see, we out here trying work. But this is Close Your Ears. We be right back.
No matter who you are, where you live, or your life situation may be in, relationships of all kinds have influenced your life. Both positive and negative relationships have an impact on our physical and mental health and our overall well-being. The book from author Dr. Lamar Spencer, The Depth and Diversity Within Relationships, available on Amazon and the author's website, drlamarspencer.com, offers true accounts of love, loss, joy, and stress. These collections aim to encourage, inspire, and share experiences that have helped others just like you navigate relationships. In this must-read book, read about recommendations concerning mindfulness and relationships, as well as recommended keys to building positive relationships and the importance of setting boundaries. You will learn to build more positive and lasting relationships through this book, The Depth and Diversity Within Relationships, from author Dr. Lamar Spencer. Order your copy right now on Amazon and drlamarspencer.com.
Yo, and we back. Close your ears. Y'all know what it is. Episode 73. This is Mental Health Awareness Month. We got Mrs. Sasha Winters in the building. The therapist, the podcaster, the speaker. You got to throw that on the resume, yeah, too.
And we can put on there the speaker.
The speaker.
Yeah, if you click on my link tree, there is access to talk to me about speaking
events. Drop the link tree. What's the link tree?
Winter's Wellness.
Mm-hmm. All right, check it out. Y'all here? Y'all where to go get that mental health? Listen, you listening to this podcast, it's probably a 95% on some Maury shit. 99.9. You probably need to go talk to a therapist. Y'all hear the link. Y'all hear the shit. Y'all listening to my crazy. Oh, I'm sorry. We can't use the word. Can I use crazy in reference to myself as the patient?
Absolutely, because it's your word.
You listening to my crazy. Yo, so we going to get into, sis said, listen.
Yeah.
Listen, sis hit me up. You know what I mean? Not too many of these motherfuckers ready to be surprised. Not too many of these motherfuckers hit me up talk about they want to come talk on. So sis said she want to talk about, y'all know everything y'all love to talk about, this relationship shit. Mm-hmm. She going to dig into this mental health and relationship.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is a great segue. On my way in, I was listening to that song FBF.
FBF.
Or FNF, I'm sorry. FNF.
F. That song. Sing it.
I'm not about to sing it as a therapist on this podcast.
Oh, is it the one song where, well, hold on.
Where she's talking about being single for the summer.
Oh. I don't remember that one.
Well, if you're a female and you're listening to this podcast, you know what I'm talking about, because obviously. But I was like, dang, look at me in this car, married AF,
singing about the fuck out that shit.
Talking you, about.
did he piss you off?
No, he didn't.
Just like the song?
Yeah, just like the song. But, you know, that's a great segue, because social media, music, movies will paint this picture. Not saying being single is, nothing's broken about being single, you know, love on yourself, be FNF, you know, like do that.
FNF.
Yeah.
What do that stand for? Fuck nigga free. Oh, my bad. Oh, see? My bad. Right. Because I'm an old head. Because, you know what I mean? I don't, yo, the rappers, they name be FNF, Young.
Yeah, this is true.
GYT, man. Gucci belt shit. No, man. They throw all these letters and shit, man. I mean, be a little slow.
That's true. But, you know, it paints this, not I want to say paints this picture. People who are single, I'll say it this way. People who are single and loving their single life are giving it to you. They're showing it to you. And you know, it's exposing people who are married together, whatever, like, wow, they're having fun. I can only have fun like them if I'm
married.
No, free.
Free.
If I'm free.
I'm sorry.
So, you know, but that's with anything, right? Like, it's like keeping up with the Joneses. Like, if you see somebody else have it and you want it, you're going to do what you need to do to get it. So that's why I said it was a great segue into dating, because dating now in 2022 is influenced by so much.
I agree.
It wasn't before. And so that ties into mental health, because on so many levels. But I'm going to just start with these questions. If you were dating, it's 1995, and you see a girl that you like, how does it go? What's your first step?
It's 1995. I'm in fifth grade.
No, I'm saying imagine
you. Oh, I'm an adult at 1995. See, yes. Talk to him a little slow. All right.
You're an adult in 1995. You see a girl you like. What's the first thing you do?
You gotta approach her back then,
right?
You know what I mean.
And then when you
slide her your beeper number and shit,
right? You give her your phone number. If you were my
beeper number, page me,
right? Page you, but yeah. I'm saying maybe you had a cell phone if you know you had money.
Oh no, nah, I was broke. I'm broke now, so if we go back to 1995, yeah, I was broke.
But in 1995, like, cell phones weren't like a huge thing, you know what I mean? Like, they
yeah, the beeper page me.
Yeah, you could page.
You get your beep. Yeah, listen, niggas used to get their you get to get caught up on the pager back then.
But 1995, they had those cell phones you pull the antenna out of.
And, oh, the big joints, yeah, the well, big I guess body that joints.
Actually, been the 80s. Listen,
no, like, that was the 95. Yeah, about 95. Right. That's when they.
Those big phones. So that's what I'm saying. So you would have to approach her. You would give her your home phone number usually. And then you would have to put in effort, right? You would have to call her. But if you call her, she might not answer. Why? Because she's not home. You know, she's asleep, or, you know, somebody else is on the phone because you don't have call waiting.
Shit, you better. 95.
You know what I'm saying? So basically, I'm saying.
I hated a motherfucker ain't had call waiting. Yo.
I'm saying, like, you had to put in some effort, some time in order to actually get in contact with this person, build a friendship with them, build a relationship. Now, you click add as a friend on Facebook, and you can read everything about this person from what day they were born to what was the last job they had.
I think that's a good thing, though.
It can
you kind of see that social media shit that we hate. It gives you a good preview of a motherfucker.
Right. So now, there's good and bad sides to everything. Yeah, it gives you a preview. Like, if you click on it, you're like, wow, he is doing some stuff I don't like. Then that does give you a preview. So it's not like 4 months into the relationship and you finding out, you know, he likes to eat hot dogs raw.
Nigga eat glizzies. That's what my nephew told.
I'm just saying.
Yo, I want no glizzies. I'm like, what the fuck is you talking about?
I'm just saying. So, like, you can find out something sooner. Yeah. Yes, that's good. But it also, how the brain works in order, like, when it was built, when it was created, our brain was, our whole body, our whole system was created for survival, right? So in order to survive faster than somebody else, your brain has to learn how to do something a more efficient way than before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to, yeah, that's just basically how survival works, right? So once our brain learns a quicker pathway to an answer, it will always take that quicker pathway than the longer one. This makes sense. So now it's called instant gratification. If somebody gives you their name and you can't look them up on Facebook, what's your first thought? Or Instagram, or Snapchat, or TikTok.
They don't fuck with social media like that. I don't know. What's my first thought?
Yeah. But
tell
like,
me.
I'm saying that's usually people's first thought. Like, they don't do the social media thing. So you either go one or two ways. What are they hiding? Or, you know, I'm trying to think of that. Like, they're a very private person.
Some people might. I might. I just take it. They don't really fuck with it. I ain't gonna think they got nothing. All right.
But some people will.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, instant gratification. You're gonna be like, "What do you mean you don't have a Facebook?" That's gonna be your first response. What do you mean you don't have an Instagram? Because usually people have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, whatever.
And hold on, niggas. Pay attention.
Right.
We're gonna drop a jewel real quick.
Right. So it's just instant gratification.
If she don't have a social media, don't think she's weird. Just be grateful it ain't niggas sending her dick pics. You know what I mean?
That's not true.
How? If she don't got no social media.
Just because she's not doing it the quicker way doesn't mean she's not doing it the long way. She could be meeting people out. And I'm not even going to give away secrets.
Oh, where they be meeting at?
I'm just saying. Just,
you know. Oh, nah. You're about to get busted.
I'm just saying, you don't only have to meet people on social media, right? So, like, okay, so it evolved. Even
yeah, then. But it got to be a little bit more effort to get the dick pic. So, that's something to be grateful for, right? No?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
In a twisted world, right?
I guess.
I mean, think about it.
But I'm saying even progression, like, in the mid-2010s, like 2012, 2013, you still met people first before you were friends with them on social media. Now you're friends with people on social media you never even met before. Right? Like when Facebook first was created, Mark Zuckerberg created it for college students to network, but you had to meet them first.
And be at school and
yeah, this is my Facebook. Oh, yeah, I'll add you because you gave me your Facebook information. Now you can click on somebody's profile, click on somebody else's.
Motherfucker be stalking you on the people you know section and shit. Like, what?
Yeah, that too. Like, it's not even you looking for somebody. Facebook, and now it's evolved even more in the 2020s, is that, you know, Facebook and Instagram and even TikTok are suggesting for you to follow people. Matter of fact, TikTok has a whole section of videos called the For You page. Of people you don't follow, but you can watch their stories. You can watch their videos. And it's going to be more likely for you to click them, you know, and add them. So that's what I'm saying. Even the progression with that. So back to instant gratification. So it's so easy to obtain interest in someone, a conversation, an interaction, than it was before. So now there's also more access to other individuals. So in the 20s, and I'm not saying that social media is the cause of it. I'm saying that of dating issues. I'm saying that sometimes you have to detach your dating from social media.
Meaning everything just ain't for social media.
Right.
In a nutshell.
Yeah, sometimes you have to detach your dating from social media.
You know what would be crazy to me? You see more people in the quickest fling, 6 months relationships, right, posting their relationship.
Right.
You don't see married people doing that too often. Like, you think about it.
I mean, right?
You on there, so you see a whole, you know what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to think of all the married people that I follow on Facebook and how many times.
They don't do it often. They do it on vacation, yeah. Special day shit. Right. You know, you will see a whole motherfucker relationship from the trip to the store with the blunts and right. Shit everywhere. Oh, my God. The next thing you know, poof, nigga disappear. Where'd that nigga go?
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's more access to people. So then that ties into mental health as well. Like, we have so many examples, so many representations of what somebody else's relationship looks like. So
What's some things that you do see on social media that just blatantly blatantly displays?
I mean,
mental health, and you know, this is a toxic ass relationship. They mental health is fucked up over there.
I'm not gonna say you can tell somebody's mental health is.
You can't tell. Come on, doc. I can tell. I can listen. I'm a profiling motherfucker.
That's not going to be a quote from me that you can diagnose people for social media, but I'm saying that.
You don't think you can? I mean, certain. I mean, because granted, somebody could be fronting. Yeah. And all, but exactly. You know, some of these people, this is not, exactly. This is who they fuck they
I
is.
I think that's the part that affects dating too. Like, you see so many faking it relationships, or I'm not even going to say that because I don't know.
I think the relationship's been faking it forever, though.
No, I don't know if people's relationships are fake or not, so I'm not even going to say that. But people may display a picture-perfect picture. But the truth is, you only see them in a snapshot. You're only seeing a picture of them. You're only seeing a 10-second video. And all of a sudden, you're making up all these conceptions.
How many friends you got on social media?
I don't know how many friends I have on Facebook. Actually, I don't know how many friends I have on any of them. I think
I'll be seeing some crazy shit, Doc. Like, you be, I'll be, yo.
I get that.
Motherfucker. Because again, how we say they affront and portray, this is what they're doing nowadays without even no hesitation. Yeah, we fronting and we fighting behind closed door, but now
they're also,
and then they get on and let you know they was, because it's straight to the fuck, FNF, what is it?
FNF. Yeah. You're right, exactly. So that's my other point is that, like, you'll have other
She's screaming that song you like, FNF, and then here, that she's singing that shit like a motherfucker today, then cussed him out aired him out.
But what if that's just her song, for example?
No, but then it'd be 3 weeks later, they back together.
So listen, that's my point.
They crazy.
That's my point. That's your perspective because you're only seeing it in a snapshot. Just because you see her singing FNF loud out of her car, or she in the club with her friends.
But I'm talking about her that I watched the whole relationship on the joint. So I watched her kick him out and sing the song and then help him bring his shit back in.
How do we know that that's true?
Because they sure I see. Yo, I'm going to start tagging you in this shit. Yo.
I mean, I get what you're getting. Like, if somebody shows us something, we're going to be like,
yeah, I'll be in the mix, cause I'm entertained.
So what I'm doing is what I do with my clients. I'm just continuously challenging your thought to have a different perspective than your own. Like, you're thinking that if you see somebody fight and then get back together and then fight, get back together, they're crazy or whatever we want to label, you know, like if you're using your language.
And this comes from somebody that fights.
But I'm saying, you're saying like, oh my gosh, look at their unstable relationship. That could never be me. Whatever. You know, like, that's your perspective. But
I don't want nobody to just think I'm judging, though. Yeah. We crazy.
My perspective is, we don't know what's going on. True. Might be fighting back together on social media, but behind closed doors, a whole different situation is happening. And so that's why I'm saying that, you know, these all tie together. Mental health, dating, social media. Because sometimes social media can influence our insecurities, right? They can influence, what do I want to say? Like, being ungrateful, like not being grateful for what you have. Like, I don't want this.
And like you said, it can influence what we think should be in a relationship for you by watching what you.
Right. You know, and so.
And that's a mental illness, right?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that can affect dating. So that's one way that mental health and dating tie together. And then another way that mental health and dating tie together is the fact that what I just said earlier in the other segment is that 40% of the general population has anxiety. That means that almost one out of two relationships are having struggles because
dealing,
one of the persons in that relationship wraps around
dealing with that.
Right. At least one of the people in the relationship has anxiety. So it's going to cause, you know, disruption. It can cause disruption in your relationship if you're not understanding of the other person's anxiety, or if you're the person with anxiety that doesn't know coping skills.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right. So let's say that you're with somebody and they're anxious. I'm just going to use you as an example. They're anxious about large bodies of water.
You picking on me?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, let's say that. But the other person loves to travel and has been on 30 cruises before they met you, and they want to go on a cruise. And if they don't go on a cruise, they don't feel like part of themselves is fulfilled.
Okay. So now sounds like a girl's trip. Problem solved.
True. So that's what we would work on in counseling when it comes to mental health and dating. We would ask questions like, you know, how much does this really affect your relationship? Like, if you went on a cruise with somebody else, would you mind? No. Would your partner mind? No. Maybe that's an alternative.
Oh, what we mean? Somebody? I said girls trip.
Yeah, ain't that's what I mean. Yeah,
no. Girls, we gonna specify. Girls trip. No, maybe send Joey Greco on in my fucking.
Yeah, so yeah. Like a girl's
trip. Yeah,
a girl's
yeah,
trip.
Yeah.
A girl's trip. Yeah,
that'd be another session.
Right. You know, yeah. A girl's trip. And, you know, she still feels fulfilled in that part that she thought was missing. And you also aren't forced to be in a very anxious situation.
All right, question. Mm-hmm. So we're going to stick to that, right? Because I got a couple people but that try to influence me.
You, yeah. I would.
So listen, here's the scenario.
Yeah.
I'm all right. We stick. I'm petrified of the water.
Right.
So say I tell her this. This is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
She chooses to accept.
She still wants to go on the cruise. Like I want you. We just got married. That she wants the dream honeymoon on the cruise.
Very true. So that's why I said when it starts affecting you, you know, because a relationship is give and take, right?
Okay. Now, I ain't giving shit on this.
You're not. No, you're giving me the scenario. Like, you're bent on that. You're not going on a cruise. But
no paper bag. No.
Nothing. It matters so much to her that her life would be ruined if she didn't go on a cruise for her honeymoon. Right? So that's when we work on compromise. So when people come to therapy, they want answers. They want me to
say. I'm going to need an answer for right, this. You see me? Nigga.
They want me to sit there and say, you don't need to go on that cruise. She can go by herself. No.
Yeah.
Because one or two things is going to happen. You're going to take my advice and it's going to go great. And then you'll always be dependent on me to give you answers for life. Or you will take my advice and it'll go horrible. And then you'll never trust me again, and our therapeutic relationship is basically over. I mean, we can rebuild, but, you know, advice is not the best thing to give in therapy. So rarely ever do I give an answer unless it's somebody's health, wellness, or well-being. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm mandated by law to make sure somebody doesn't, harm somebody.
But isn't that health? Because, remember, I already had the anxiety attack in my mind.
I get what you're saying. So, of course, I'm not going to make you go on a cruise. Well, first of all, I can't make you do anything. But I'm not going to make you go on a cruise and know that you have anxiety and you have a severe anxiety attack and that's harmful to yourself. I'm saying that I'm never going to give you an answer whether you should go on that cruise or not. But what I can do...
You know how many sessions we have with me just trying to get this...
But what I would...
I'm like, Doc, now I'm waiting tomorrow.
But listen... But what I will do is help you figure out both alternatives. If you do not go on the cruise and it ends your relationship, how do we cope with that? That's one thing we work through. If you do go on this cruise, how do we learn to cope with the anxiety of the water? We'll work on both of those things, and then you make your own decision.
Okay, so I think the easier thing to cope with would be her, because I ain't budging on the water, and I would
feel that it would be.
I would feel she ain't love me if I expressed to her.
And that's your choice, but you know, like yeah. I definitely would recommend a number of sessions before deciding, because
I know that I'm just waiting on you to tell me.
No, I'm just saying because, you know, you want to come to your best and informed decision because, you know, nothing is more detrimental than a decision we make and then
okay.
We regret later.
Then what if they hit you with the, okay, doc, put yourself in my shoes?
So I would say that I would really think about my two choices. And I think that if my relationship was worth it to me, I would work out both alternatives. You know, I would work with my spouse to understand where I'm coming from to see if he would be willing to compromise. And then I would work with myself to be willing to go on the cruise, you know, and I compromise. Because there could be an option here, right? Like, I could work on myself so hard to not have anxiety, but he truly sees that no matter how hard I work, I can't do it for some reason. Like, it's just not working for me.
Try start small with a little paddle boat or something, huh?
Right, or he might.
I ain't even doing that.
Listen, he might say, you know what?
Miniature golf, you know, with water miniature golf is.
Well, listen, he might say, no, babe, you are worth much more to me than this cruise. So we don't have to go on a cruise. I see how hard you are working, and I understand how it still affects you. So it's not.
But so you know what the problem is in relationship, or?
Or, you know, you could get so good at it that you don't have a panic attack on a cruise, and then you have the time of your life. Like, those are two positive outcomes. So I'm never going to tell you which to choose because I don't know the future. I don't know which way it'll pan out, but you could try both.
Okay. I'm going to still have a rebuttal. Like I said, we're going to need sessions.
Of course. I mean, if my client...
But see, nah, but that is the... Like, you pretty much land it out. And you know what I mean? Yeah. Weigh your options.
And the most important
pick your battle.
Yeah, that too. So both of you are picking your battle, right? Like, one spouse is picking, is the battle worth losing them if I go on this cruise? Or is the battle worth giving up the cruise? Both spouses are weighing the options. And, you know, dating and mental, dating is about compromise.
Yeah.
Relationships are about compromise. Like, no relationship works going only one person's way. If you are in a relationship that only goes one person's way, that's probably some things that need to be worked out.
No doubt. I'm coming straight to the crib. Like, listen, Sash said, this is how we going to do this. You go on the cruise. You get a hard pass. I get a hard pass. You know.
I did not say that.
You ain't say that?
No, clients love this.
Sasha said.
The next session, they were like, I did what you told me to do. And I'm like, I didn't tell you to do anything. I just, you know what? But I'll be like, what did I tell you to do? I told you to, I did what you said. I went home and I told her, listen, if you love me enough, you're not going to go on this cruise. And I'm like, no, Eric. No,
that's not what
I said. So I believe what we explored is that there are options and we don't know which option is going to come true. And you're like, well, I just heard that, you know, so that's why I don't give answers.
No doubt.
But that's how mental health and dating combine. Just to break it down to the simple facts again, that you're most likely in a relationship with somebody that has a mental illness. I won't even say illness.
So what's some?
I will say mental, are going through mental health things, because you don't.
Because all of it ain't always that serious, right? Where, you know how we stereotype it, or right, they crazy. Like, it's because we all got it. It just ain't always.
Everybody goes through life, right?
Right.
And then they use this word in when you're diagnosing people. It's called pervasive. So what pervasive means is that it's been so impactful
that you notice it.
That, like, what sticks out. It's affected several areas of your life. So if you have anxiety so bad that it affects your social, you know, things you do socially, or it affects your health, like you're not eating, or, you know what I mean? Like, so many things. It's affected you. It's pervasive. So it's either has severe impact or even a long amount of time. Like, it's, and each diagnosis has different lengths, you know, like one might have 6 months, one might have a year. If it's been going on for that long, then it's probably a diagnosis. But if you went through, you had a rough 2 months, it just might be something that you're going through.
So what's some things to look like, your red flags, everybody? You know, that have been trending lately, red flags. So, and dating, what's some red flags to look out for?
I'm just going to leave it at this. In my last episode, I made a statement. If something is causing you so much distress that it changes your character, that's a red flag. So if this person that you're started talking to blows up your phone 150 times a day, and it distresses you so much that you're this calm, cool, collective person, but now you have anxiety, or like, you know, you get on edge.
Get twitching and shit, right?
Yeah, every time your phone ring or ding or something, mm-hmm. It's like, okay, if it's changing your character that much, it's probably something you should review to see why. Like, why does it bother you? And then again, I'm not going to give you an answer. I'm not going to say that's a person you shouldn't be with. I'm going to say, you know, there's so many ways to look at this. You know, does it cause you so much distress because you feel like they're being controlling? And maybe it's something else, and you can work that out. And
hold up, why we ain't breaking? Oh, whoa, this the part. I don't, or why, hold on, why ain't we breaking down why they calling my phone? Why it seems like this is about me?
Yeah, because you're the one in the session, not them.
Oh, well, is, now, is it extra to drag them in?
You do the group thing. I do couples counseling, but and that, you know, rates depend on practice and insurance and all that stuff. But if they were in the session, the person that calls 150 times, you know, we would explore, you know, what makes you call, like what causes you to do the behavior. And I said that on this podcast, I was going to give a sneak peek into this week's episode.
Okay.
So that's a sneak peek right there, is that every behavior has a function. We don't do things just because. We don't wear the color black just because. We don't eat certain foods just because. So in my example, it was like, you know, I used to eat for emotions. So I would, but the reason why I ate for my emotions was because it made me feel full. It made me feel satisfied. So once I was able to break down why don't I feel satisfied and then satisfy that for myself, I no longer needed the food. So my behavior had a function. And if you feel like that function is causing you so much distress that it changes your character, you should change it.
Change it. Yeah.
So every behavior has a function. So you can figure out why you do what most of what you do, and if you can change it, if you want to change it.
No doubt, no doubt, no
so
doubt.
So that's a little sneak peek into this week's podcast. But just know that, again, if you're going through things in your relationship, it could be that the other person has struggles with mental health. Or it could be that you guys are just going through things. So, but it doesn't hurt to sit down in front of a therapist or somebody or a pastor or somebody you trust.
All right.
Work some things out.
So let's get to we're still talking mental health.
You got.
I'm not. I'm saying rushing you off unless you gotta go. But today's getting late. We got another 5, 10, 15 minutes. You cool?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk a little bit. Is cause I've been traumatized. I don't know if you can tell with relationships and shit.
How would I tell?
I don't know.
You never told me anything
about it. Oh, all right. But
so what makes you, I'm asking, like, what makes you think that I would know that?
I don't know, just from the, I don't know.
Do you feel like it's.
You probably, I'm crazy people. I probably put my relationship joint on Facebook a couple times. You might have seen that shit.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I've been trying. So let's talk, I want to talk about, because again, with relationships and shit.
Mm-hmm.
What is insecurities like as far as what mental health?
I mean, insecurities can stem from anything. It can stem from media, like seeing pictures of what the world defines as beauty and feeling like that you have to be that. I mean, it can stem from past traumas of abuse. It can stem from a lot of things. And I mean, there's different levels and types of abuse, right? And there's different. So again, everything that you would have an insecurity about, it probably has a backstory. So if you feel like your hair is not beautiful for whatever reason, there was something or someone at some time that told you your hair wasn't beautiful, or you weren't accepted because of it. You know what I mean? Like something happened for you to attach that feeling to that character to make you insecure about it. And so it's just resolving, you know, or trying, I'm not going to say that's the answer, but that's like trying to resolve that for yourself. Like, if you don't think that you're beautiful because your hair is quote unquote ugly, how do we change your perspective of your hair for you? How do we make you love it? Or, you know, like, how do we do alternatives if you feel like you can never love it? Do you do wigs? Do you do braids? Do you only like your hair this way, that way, whatever? You know, you, and then I always tell people the last step of self-growth and mental health growth is not caring. Not caring what other people think about whatever.
I stand and
loving
on that.
loving it no matter what nobody thinks about it. So if you love the color green, that's me. Some people think that's the ugliest color in the world, but if I don't care, or I understand that, like, that's your perspective, but this is what I love, and that's not going to change me, then that won't be something that I'm insecure about. I'd be proud to say that I love the color green.
No doubt, no doubt.
So did I really, do you think I got to it? Like, did I answer your question about mental health and dating? Like, how those two
tie hand in hand? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
Was definitely a therapist move. So to answer your other question, sometimes I can turn it off and sometimes I can't. Like, I've been in my own personal therapy sessions and said, okay, so I know we're at the last 5 minutes, and I'm not the therapist in the session. So I just did that to you. I said, so do you think we covered everything you came here for today? Do you think we got what you needed?
You rocked it, though, sis.
Thank you.
We definitely was a pleasure to have you on.
I appreciate it.
We definitely got to help promote and pump this mental health awareness. Yes.
And let's share each other's shares and share each other's shares and share each other's shares, because there's nobody more important than us. You know, there was research done that the Black community is powerful in regards to, like, being consumers and growing stuff. So let's share each other's shares.
No doubt, yo, doubt. Y'all hear it, y'all. Don't forget, Saturday, May 21st.
Yep, 1:30 to 5:30. I'll be there virtually. Erica Pickney, who was my past supervisor, she is going to be providing mental health resources.
Oh, E. Pickton, yeah. Be dropping the joint too?
Yeah, so she'll be there. She won't be there, but the resources will be there from her. And then I know a few other people will be showing up to speak. And then they said there's like a whole bunch of other
stuff. Fashion show, yeah, by fashion Gifted show. By L'Oreal, yeah, you know what I mean?
Clothes, all that, so.
Yeah, and it wasn't me. I ain't say it. I heard one of them say it might be a twerking contest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, niggas, you bring your singles to the mental, dollar bills to the mental awareness.
I'm pretty sure they're going to be playing FNF. I'm pretty sure.
FNF?
Yeah.
What's the one song, though? That ain't the song where she be like, how that shit go? And I was like, oh, this bitch is crazy. Like,
wow.
Hold on. Because when you break the lyrics, that, oh my God, how that shit go? If you think that I hate you right now, I do.
How that shit go?
I said, oh, this bitch crazy. I'm like, see, this is why these chicks be this. Like, see, now that's some bad. I don't like that. And I was crazy. I like the song. Like, the melody.
I'm not going to say it's bad, though.
It is. To me, I think she a bad influence.
Why?
You want somebody to feel bad, too. That's revenge. That's negative energy.
Listen, I'm not going to say that the song is a bad influence on relationships, because what if there's a woman out there that has been abused and she listened to that song? Like, if you thought I hated you, you know, the rest of the lyrics. And in that song, she found her empowerment to leave her abusive relationship. I think that would be a great influence.
All right, if you put it to on some abusive bitch, you know, you can get hated on.
Of course.
You know, they can hate you for some petty shit. So, you know, again, you know.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's all about perspective. Like, we only think things are bad because of
who. I still don't think even though. So it's healthy. You saying it's healthy to wish bad upon your abuser?
I didn't say that either. Okay. What I said was.
You said, hold on. All right, I'm listening.
What I said was, I'm not going to label that song as a bad song. Because what if it's a good song to somebody? Then it's a good song to them. I'm not going to label it as bad. It's not my right to say this is bad and nobody should listen to this. Because it might be good to somebody else.
Mm. I told you I was traumatized in past relationships. So to me, that's that song's a trick. I don't like that. And, yo, what's crazy? This is what's crazy though.
Yeah.
I liked it. This, you know, the radio down low. You can't hear the words.
Yeah, like the
I like the song. Okay. Then I'm like, oh, that's my song. Then I turn. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, nah. This is that. Nah. This is to me. I was like, this is bad energy, yo.
Me and my husband. Like laugh at songs like that only because we understand.
But I definitely from you know to think where she's coming from. Yeah. I definitely you know for that point. But you know,
like we don't know what made her write that song. But
I've been traumatized. I've been traumatized. You can't tell me my BM don't got a voodoo doll. Like I know I got. It's some people mad at me from my past. So I just. Them type of. I don't even be wanting to hear that negative relationship shit.
And I get that. Right? Like, your behavior has a function. You don't listen to negative songs to avoid.
I think that'd be women's problem. It'd be a lot of negative music out there that you
but
know.
But who's to say it's negative? It's negative to you, which is understandable. Yeah, that doesn't mean
listen
that.
To that. Just check that phone. Check that nigga. That's the song. Check that nigga phone. Check. And then you go to checking my phone. Nigga. That was bad influence, man. We was all right.
I'm not
right?
going to say.
No.
What I'm saying is I don't have the right to define things as bad and good. I am not. I am not somebody's jury.
You're
I am
jury.
Not the judge and the jury. Bad. If that's what you like, you do you.
If checking the phone's healthy?
I didn't. I'm not
asking.
Saying.
No, I'm asking. That wasn't even a play on that.
I'm going to say.
You know, this is a common thing in relationships. You know what I mean?
Every behavior has a function. So, pretty sure she's not checking his phone.
For no reason.
I'm not saying he's cheating. I'm saying that maybe she has, like you just said, past experiences of other people cheating. And that's how she found out was through the phone. So, maybe that's why she checks his phone. But he's never cheated, right? Or it could be.
He might not have even gave her no reason,
right.
But just from that past
right.
relationship now, because that's how she caught the last nigga.
Exactly. So I'm not going to say that, like, in your relationship, checking phones are bad. Because, again, I don't have the authority to tell you what's good or bad for your relationship. It's for you to determine through me providing you education.
You good, though. I got to give it to you. She good. Because, you know, on the low, I don't know if people... I try to shit on you bitches a little. Excuse my French. You ladies. I try to shit on y'all just a little. Just to see how Doc would handle it. Because I'm sure that's how dudes come in there. You know what I mean?
She's checking my phone. And she's doing this and that.
Okay. I know. I told you, I need some sessions. I had to talk to somebody.
Cool. And I reflected, just like you said, well, why are we talking about why she hit me at 50 times?
Hey.
No, we're going to talk about why it affects you. Because I can't ask her questions.
I'll be in that motherfucker on speakerphone and shit.
Tell her what you said yesterday.
Hey, she called me.
Tell her why you called me 10 times at work.
But again,
I appreciate you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. It was fun. We definitely gotta you know, we're gonna do a couple more. We're gonna let you pick an ice pick's brain a little bit more.
Sounds good.
Don't forget, y'all, don't forget. Mm-hmm. You can check out Close Your Ears. You can check out the Wellness Center
right
on Spotify, Apple, Hold on.
Amazon Music, Anchor, and iHeartRadio.
And iHeartRadio. Well, basically, I ain't there yet. She's going to have to put me in with the plug for iHeart. You know what I mean?
Anywhere you listen to music, you can listen to the Wellness Center.
Goddamn. What days you drop?
Fridays at 5 a.m., but of course it's available anytime.
Do you plan on getting to the point where you have guests, or are you just right now, are you still as freestyling? You know what I mean?
I was thinking about that, like, how would I add guests? Because the therapeutic room is a very sacred place, so I'm not going to have somebody.
You don't want to try to have somebody and have like an on-air session.
Right.
But see, you can, your guests could be like other colleagues and your profession. You know what I mean? Because it's thousands of podcasters absolutely out here in this joint.
So I could invite even like, you know, Dr. Lamar Spencer. Like, I can invite him and maybe we'll talk about
Sis. Yeah, that's sis.
I apologize.
The two R's. You got to look at the two R's. That's what let me know.
But even the first time, and you correct me, I could invite her to my podcast.
I'll link y'all up.
You know what I mean? Or, you know, anybody. So, yeah, you're right. It could be.
Hey.
And look, you did a good therapist thing right there. You gave me a different perspective. It doesn't have to be my clients. It can be my colleagues. So, you're right.
That right? Yeah. That's what I told you. It was gang.
Yeah.
But y'all heard what it is. And wait, before we get out of here, I didn't held her up. I know she was supposed to be home.
I'm going to give my husband his personal number.
Yeah, you're going to have to give him that massage. And we going to edit out the part where she said, mentioned about she know where them chicks be meeting up. All that. Before we get out of here, what we like to do, since we ain't do the black fact, y'all got one the other day. But we like to do the quick tip.
Okay.
So just something you can throw at people to apply to their life to help them out. It could be something as simple as when you go to that Chinese restaurant, you better get your wings fried hard.
I'm going to give you a quote from my book. And that is, sometimes we parent to be the parent our parents weren't. I know there's a lot of parents in there, right? But remember, being a good parent is being the parent your child needs, not the parent your inner child needs. So you don't need the same things. You're a good parent.
No doubt. I'm going to hit y'all with this one real simple. Because I ain't wrote a book yet. You know what I mean? You wrote a book?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's the... That just hit me. She like, this is in my book. I'm like, hold on. What's the name of the book?
It's called Forged by Fire.
Forged by Fire?
Yes. And it's on Amazon.
It's okay, man. Quit playing, y'all. I done had three authors. A couple doctors. She going to be a doctor, but we got the licensed therapist.
I'm pre-licensed.
You about to finish all that, man. Listen, nigga, you licensed therapist. It's going to be done. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we going to, my quick tip, I said mine was going to be short. What was I going to say? Oh, hard head make a soft ass. You know what I mean?
That's in life.
But this again, drop your link tree again. Let them know where to find you at.
Winter's Wellness.
Winter's Wellness. Yeah. Instagram, all that shit. Are you on your own? Except you don't play. You don't want nobody following you on
it. I mean, you can follow me on TikTok. It's Pineapple Lifestyle. Lifestyle spelled LYFESTYLE. That's where I do most of my video.
No doubt. So y'all know where to find her at to get the good content on TikTok.
Absolutely.
Y'all got the link tree. Again, this is Close Your Ears. Y'all know where to find the Wellness Center. You know what I mean? And we out of here. Episode 73. Thank you. Love you. Peace.